Hey folks, this is Jesse Cope, back with another episode of the American Soul Podcast. Hope y'all are doing well, wherever y'all are, and whatever part of the day you're in. I sure do appreciate you joining me, giving me a little bit of your time and a little piece of your day. Background noise may be a little different on this episode. We're recording outside, so hopefully that doesn't keep y'all from being able to hear the podcast however much you want to. I assume y'all want to some, or you wouldn't be coming back. For those of y'all that continue to share the podcast with others and tell people about it, thank you so much. Y'all help it to grow. Not a whole lot on the farm, homestead. Just trying to get wood and tin all lined up to build the duck coop. My laziness and procrastination are getting the better of me. And hopefully if it continues to dry out enough, we will get back in the garden. Get a few more things in the ground. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for you, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. Thank you for all the many blessings you bestow upon us, have bestowed upon us as individuals and as a nation. Guide us in all that we do. Help us to seek you and your kingdom and your righteousness first. Help us to love you with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. To love our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our lack of gratitude. And we imagine in our own foolishness, our vanity, that we have done all this. That somehow it's because of our own merit, our own strength and speed and wisdom and intelligence. Instead of by your grace and your mercy and your blessings. Watch over those who are hurting, Lord. Please watch over our nation and draw us back to you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. We're going to go back into the Mayhew sermon, but I saw something I wouldn't say it's the news, but there's videos of it that I've seen, so, and it doesn't really matter what it is. I'll tell you what it is just because I'm thinking about it. Excuse me, I'm going to grab a bite to eat while we're recording this podcast, too. There's a trend, apparently, in New York, maybe other places, of young men walking up to random women and punching them in the face. You can look it up online. It's not hard to find. And of course, a number of y'all that listen to the podcast, you'll immediately see a number of issues with that, from men being abusive to women and not cherishing them, to just the rampant lawlessness that's escalating in our country, particularly in cities and counties and states that have left-leaning officials. And you could talk about so many different facets of our country and society today. Illegal immigration pops to mind. abortion. The doctors performing transgender surgeries on children. Where you have criminals, you look at the other one that's probably pretty obvious is cities like San Francisco, where they have raised the amount that's required for a theft to really be considered punishable. I don't remember what it was the last time I looked, but hundreds of dollars, more than some hardworking individuals make in a couple of weeks, which is a whole different discussion. I won't go down that rabbit trail. The point is, I heard a national commentator really upset about this, just the fact that we're descending into lawlessness. But they never made the connection. And there's a number of people in this country, folks, that still aren't making the connection. A number of people that consider themselves patriots and conservative. And that connection is, so there's two steps. And a lot of people get the first step, or are getting the first step. More people. I won't say a lot, but there's more people getting the first step. And that is that the chaos and pain and lawlessness and just decay of our nation, our republic that we're seeing, is directly tied to the values of the left. Right? And so you have a number of people making that connection. But the really important part, the exponentially more important part, is the second step. And there's a large percentage of people that consider themselves educated, informed, conservative patriots that aren't getting this second step. Either because they really just haven't looked into it and don't know, or because they don't want to. And that is that at the very core of the values of the left is rejection of, at least, which really pretty much goes hand in hand with hatred, but we'd have to sit and talk about that a little bit more. But for sure, rejection of God and Jesus Christ. And so here's the reason this is so important. Anybody that's offering you, that's telling you that they understand the problems in America today, or that they understand how to fix them, that can't state that second step, that second connection, they don't really understand the problem, and they can't really offer true solutions. Because anything that is missing a recentering of our nation, and that includes, more importantly, our individual lives, marriages, families, but any solution offered for our communities, our institutions, like our schools and our law enforcement, firefighters, military, intelligence branches, judicial system, whatever you want to talk about, states, national level, anything that doesn't start with going back to the principles of Jesus Christ, it's not going to work. It might work in the short term. It might be a short-term solution. But it's going to end up, even if it is a short-term solution, it's going to end up just like the idea of people that claim to be fiscally conservative but socially liberal. Eventually, that lack of morality, that lack of virtue that our founders talked about so in-depth. We've done a couple episodes recently on virtue that our founders talked about. Eventually, that lack of virtue is going to bleed over into the social aspect, or the fiscal aspect. That was a lot more, or a lot longer than I really intended to talk about that. But I saw it come across in that story, and it's a vital connection. It's arguably the most important connection in our country today. And if we don't make that, if that's not our basis, and we're not going to fix anything. We might delay the inevitable, but we're not going to fix anything. And it may be too late. As I say on this podcast often, God may have given us as much rope as he's going to give us. And that's why it's so important individually for us to turn, each of us, to look to God and Jesus Christ. Because it may be too late for the nation. So this Mayhew sermon, for those of y'all that have been here, you're familiar. If you're joining us for the first time, or if you've been gone for a few weeks or a while and you're coming back, we've been in a series on this sermon by Jonathan Mayhew from 1750 that really was the spark that kind of lit the revolution. Even though, you know, it's 25 years before we really got going in the Revolutionary War, it got people to thinking, because we were a Christian population. And he's given a sermon on Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. And he's talking about the fact, basically it sums up that Christians only have a responsibility to submit to godly authority. We don't have this idea of unlimited submission to all civil authority. And you see the left throw this out there every once in a while. Well, you're supposed to, you know, they'll throw this verse. They don't believe in God to begin with, or if they do, it's their own kind of God. And then they throw this Bible verse out to try and browbeat Christians into submitting to any civil authority. And that's not what was intended. And so this sermon was really important, because a lot of people are having hang-ups about the idea of rebellion against the king and parliament. But he was saying, look, you know, if they're not going to do what they're supposed to, they have responsibilities too. And if they're not going to do, it's not a matter of just not liking the policies, folks. And we talked about this in one of the previous episodes. You know, Paul wrote this for those Jews out there that didn't think that they had to submit to Gentiles, right, to non-Jews. And he wrote it for the Christians that thought that following Christ meant they got to do whatever the heck they wanted to do anytime they wanted to do it. And he was saying, no, if the civil authorities are really trying their best to do what they're supposed to do, you have a responsibility to obey them because God put them there. But if you have people that are openly rebelling against God's word, which every single person on the left today in political office is, folks, just by default of the platform, because they're standing for those core issues that are just evil. Abortion, feminism, illegal immigration, LGBTQ, whatever, I can't even say it tonight, alphabet soup, homosexuality, transgenderism, the critical race theory, DEI, identity politics, socialism, communism, all of these evils. There's no way to square that with Jesus Christ's commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Caring for the least of these, caring for the widow and the orphan. It's just, you can't get there from here. It doesn't mean that I know the heart of each individual person that votes for the left or runs political office for the left. That's between them and God and Jesus Christ. But following those values, you can't follow those values and be following the commands of Christ as laid out in the Bible. And so we're going to get back into this sermon, maybe a couple more days. Let me illustrate the apostles' argument by the following similitude, if I said that correctly. It is no matter how far it is from anything which has, in fact, happened in the world. Suppose, then, it was allowed in general that the clergy were a useful order of men, that they ought to be esteemed very highly and loved for their work's sake, and to be decently supported by those whom they serve, the laborer being worthy of his reward. He pulled a couple quotes out there, Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, verse 13, 1 Timothy, verse 18, or 5:13 and 5:18. I'm not sure. They wrote it differently down there. I apologize. And, the laborer being worthy of his reward. Suppose farther that a number of reverend and right reverend drones who worked not, who preached perhaps but once a year, and then not the gospel of Jesus Christ, but the divine right of tithes, the dignity of their office as ambassadors of Christ, the equity of sinecures, and the plurality of benefices. Can't help y'all there, folks. It's over my head. The excellency of the devotions in that prayer book, which some of them hired chaplains to use for them, or some favorite point of church tyranny and anti-Christian usurpation. Suppose such men as these, spending their lives in effeminacy, luxury, and idleness, or when they were not idle, doing that which is worse than idleness, suppose such men should merely by the merit of ordination and consecration and a peculiar odd habit claim great respect and reverence from those whom they civilly called the beasts of the laity, and demand thousands per annum for that good service which they never performed, and for which, if they had performed it, this would be much more than a quantum merit, is Latin. I don't know. Suppose this should be the case. It is only by way of simile, and surely it will give no offense. I think he's being sarcastic there, folks. That was in parentheses, and the earlier comment was too. Would not everybody be astonished at such insolence, injustice, and impiety? And ought not such men to be told plainly that they could not reasonably expect the esteem and reward due to the ministers of the gospel, unless they did the duties of their office? Should they not be told that their title and habit claimed no regard, reverence, or pay, separate from the care and work and various duties of their function? And that while they neglected the latter, the former served only to render them the more ridiculous and contemptible. The application of this similitude in the case in hand is very easy. If those who bear the title of civil rulers do not perform the duty of civil rulers, but act directly counter to the sole end and design of their office, if they injure and oppress their subjects instead of defending their rights and doing them good, they have not the least pretense to be honored, obeyed, and rewarded, according to the apostle's argument. For his reasoning, in order to show the duty of subjugation to the higher powers, is, as was before observed, built wholly upon the supposition that they do, in fact, perform the duty of rulers. So if we've got these rulers that are oppressing, injuring their subjects instead of defending their rights and doing them good, they don't deserve to be honored, obeyed, and rewarded. And of course, the argument he was making there was within the church, which makes sense at that time, right? If the clergy is going to not take care of the congregation, not do the job that the clergy is supposed to do, then they don't deserve that reward or pay or honor, etc. It's absolutely true today, folks. And it's true with the left. When they're up there and they support, for example, the murder of children via abortion, the very least of these in our country, they don't deserve to be honored, obeyed, respected. And really, you go back to the 1947 Supreme Court decision, again, of separation of church and state. If they're going to reject God out of a Christian republic, as we've talked about on this podcast a number of times, they don't deserve to be respected, honored, or submitted to unconditionally. And so we come back to this sermon every so often. We'll come back again. God bless y'all. God bless your marriages. God bless your families. God bless America. We'll talk to y'all again real soon, folks. Looking forward to it.